Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here. We'd like to welcome you again to Truth Ministry. And I want to start off our guest call-in number. Should you desire to call in, if you have a question or a comment, you are very welcome. Our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we'd just like to welcome everyone, our LinkedIn connections, our Twitter followers, our Facebook friends and connections, and also our Blog Talk friends. Thank God for you listening to Truth Ministry on today. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And those are the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote his prison epistle to the church at Ephesus, or the Ephesian church, baptized believers who were already saved, already had the Pentecostal experience, as we call it, speaking with other tongues, already been water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So we thank God that we are continuing on today. We've been talking about the early church, and we our word power and definitely our theme, the Godhead. So we've been talking about the early church and in the previous weeks. Then also before that, we were actually derived from we were talking about the resurrection, and after the resurrection, we ended up, I think I made mention on last time, in the book of Luke, we actually were dealing with the resurrection in Matthew and Mark and in Luke, and then so that's how we ended up moving on in the Acts of the Apostles, because Luke wrote Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So we've been moving on in the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles. So we're still there on today in the Acts of the Apostles. So last time we talked about Ananias and Sapphira, and then we also talked about Stephen, how he preached the message that he preached out of the law of Moses, and how he was stoned to death in the sixth and seventh chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And then also Ananias and Sapphira, that lesson was in the fifth chapter of Acts. And so it's actually a continuation, because they were told by the priest, the high priest, not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. So, and then even one of the doctors of the law, a Pharisee, said, "This be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it's not of men, we'll find ourselves fighting against God. We cannot stop it." And so then after that, Stephen preached in the seventh chapter, and so he was stoned to death. And so that brings us to where we are on today. Still talking about the early church, word power, and then definitely our theme, the Godhead. So today we're talking about Philip the evangelist and the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles. Some call him Saint Paul, some call him the Apostle Paul, but he was Saul of Tarsus, but God dropped the S from his name and added a P, and we call him Paul. So we want to continue on. So last week, when the last time we broadcast, week before last, our last broadcast, they used to have a saying. They said, the word of God will do one of two things. It'll make you shout and glad, or it'll make you fight and mad. So we have a perfect example of that. And I'll just kind of go back a little bit of Stephen's message here. So you stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. This is the message he was preaching to the Israelites. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Because he's preaching Jesus, talking about what they have done, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. So remember, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing asunder even to the dividing of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Hebrew writer, this is in 4 and 12, he goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Talking about the word of God. It's a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You imagine these people biting on a grown man with their teeth, or biting on a human being, period. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Remember, that's a place of authority. The right hand is a place of favor, the place of authority. And said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, bear in mind what I just said, a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So this is what... And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So that he died, but he sleep in Jesus. So this is what we've been trying to let people know when we talked about the resurrection. And then see, so this is actually a continuation of the resurrection, because that's initially where we were. What we have been talking about for a number of weeks, then the early church, so all of this after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is. So there is going to be a resurrection. So this, we were talking about the catching away of the bride of Christ or the body of Christ. So this is why Apostle Paul had wrote to the church at Thessalonica, that's a tongue twister. He says, if we believe that Jesus died, even though them which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, about verse 13. So he goes on, for the Lord himself, not Michael the archangel, not Gabriel, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That means You know, when you descend, you go down. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, all simultaneously. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So he said, them that are asleep, and then he says, dead in Christ. So you understand that the dead are asleep. Everyone who is dead, a dead person is in a state of unconsciousness, and they're going to be wakened. I remember I heard a guy on the radio was talking about his father was, he had a good father and everything. He's a radio host. So he said his father was in eternal sleep. There's no such thing as eternal sleep. That's why there's going to be a resurrection, because God is going to wake everybody up. Remember, man is a spirit. Human beings, mankind, we're spirit, we're body, soul, and spirit. We're spirit, we live in a body. He's going to wake everybody up. He's going to put everybody back together, wake them up. That's why John in the 20th chapter of Revelation said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the dead, the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the book. So he says, we that are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, we shall not all sleep. We shall not, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, not a blinking of an eye, a twinkle. So the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. This corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then so he goes on with a quote from the Old Testament, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And these quotes are out of 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, the 50 whatever verse he is, all the way to the end. So this is what we're talking about right here. Stephen is going to wake up with everybody else in the church when the Lord makes that shout. Dead in Christ are going to rise first. We're going to meet him in the air. So that's why we sing a song. I'll be caught up to meet him. I'll be caught up to meet him. I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. So it's just not how they say, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go. Then they go on, oh, the song says, oh, but it's not just a story. It's an event. It actually happened. So we continue on here. Saul was consenting unto his death. And I remember they laid these clothes at this young man's feet called Saul, talking about Stephen. And at that time was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now you can imagine, because when it was a shock to see them do that. So lament, you know, that's like really weeping. Just like Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. That's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. St. John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. He boohooed. That's why they went on to say, behold how he loved him, talking about Lazarus. But he already had said in the 25th verse, his sister had said, my brother shall, Jesus said, he's going to rise again. She said, I know he is, at the resurrection of the last day. Jesus let her know, I am, the same I am back in the Old Testament. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So keep on believing. ETH, believeth. So anyway, they're going on here. So the apostles, they weren't scattered. And devout men carried Stephen unto his burial, made great lamentation over him. And for Saul, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So God did that. He scattered them. So then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, this is Philip the evangelist. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And so, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice came out of many of them that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. But a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. Now this is Simon the sorcerer, to whom they gave heed from the least of the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So he was a satanic, you know, a sorcerer, bewitching people is what Simon was. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But they that believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So why did they have to do this? Because Peter had the keys. Jesus said, I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. It means exactly what it says. So Peter had the power. Peter had the authority. And God is not going to overstep his own authority. He committed the gospel unto men. So they had to wait for Peter to get there, because he had the power and he had the authority. So they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast no part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of those things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So we're going to be, as we move on here in a little bit, we're going to be talking about what we're going to talk about in our subject. That is Philip and St. Paul, because Philip was a mighty man of God. So I just thought of something here. You probably heard me say this so-called foolishness that they have started some years ago with this so-called sowing a seed. And they don't even understand that the seed is the word of God. And in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, says he was talking about the rain and snow coming down from heaven, make it the earth to bring forth in the bud. And so that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's literally talking about the farmer, because he's talking about rain, he's talking about snow, he's talking about seed that a farmer uses to plant wheat so you can get bread. So he's making an analogy. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish the thing that I send it and prosper in that which I please. So I've been saying, and a lot of people, they won't say it. They don't have the gall. They don't have the backbone to, I don't care if they are leader, they are pastor, they are bishop, whoever they are, they won't search it out and stand up and say it. That is, you can't buy a blessing. I've actually told somebody that. You can't. You cannot buy a blessing. That's ridiculous. So this is what he's saying right here. I never thought of this. This come to my mind as I'm looking at this. He says that you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So that's ridiculous. It's the same thing. You cannot bribe God. You cannot buy a blessing. That is pure stupidity. Because the only thing you can do as God requires is a tithe, which is a tenth, and a free will offering. All this other stuff is foolishness. It's over the top. You get $10 line, the $5, the $50 line, the $1,000 line, all that. That's ridiculous. It's an insult to God because you can't buy a blessing. It makes no sense. So anyways, we move on here on our subject today. So he prayed. Simon asked him, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many in many villages of the Samaritans. So those were mixed breed people. Excuse me, the Samaritans. So anyway, we go on here, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. So this is the subject we're talking about today as much as we can, is Philip and Paul. And so the angel told Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, I am told that this man was actually, in that day, he was the equivalent of what we would call a certified public accountant. So in other words, he wasn't poor at all. And that no telling how he was dressed, alligator shoes or whatever they had on in that day. So he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, of course, don't make no mistake about it. It was God, the Spirit, spoke to Philip and told him to go and join himself to the chariot. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understand thou what thou readest. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And this is in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, Thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, that is Philip. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So that, what a mystery right there, because this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, actually got a revelation about being baptized. And you know how he baptized him. Only one way, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That was the way he baptized him. So that, so we pick up Philip later on. We get to him today, but what a mighty man of God. And this man heard God to do what he'd done, because he had left the great revival and went down to Samaria and went on his way just to preach to one man when he went to Gaza, which is desert, and you know, went and found this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, and preached to one man. Because you say, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So teaching is to explain, and preaching is to proclaim. He preached to one man. So we go on here. Like I said, we're talking about Philip and St. Paul. So what a mighty man. And actually, we had a little of Simon the Sorcerer there too, and Peter. It's so much that's in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which is actually the Acts of the Holy Ghost. These were things that they'd done in the early church. So I think I have a call, so let's see. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear? Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, can you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Can I say something in particular about that scripture, about that eunuch that was wanting to be baptized?
Yes.
And it said that it was expounded upon him about Jesus. And when he left the Ethiopian back into Africa, he went back another way. You see what I'm saying? Like, he went back in a different person, in a different reality, in a different identity.
Oh, yeah. And, after he got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. And traveled back to Ethiopia. He brought the Christ into Africa in a sense, because He didn't just get, like, baptized, like how in America we literally kind of, like, think it. But more so, he was converted, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And back into Ethiopia, he went back as a butterfly. And we all know Christ is the butterfly. You see what I'm saying? So he, too, went back the same way. And that's pretty much what I just wanted to add, brother, to that. To show us that, man, we have that same opportunity too, brother, to wake up one day from living all our lives as a caterpillar to now one day waking up as a butterfly. And we all know that the butterfly is the Christ. And it's just wonderful to know that there are accounts and written accounts in the Bible of men becoming transformed into a butterfly.
All right, yeah, you're new. Yeah, we don't know where actually the scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of God in 1 John, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But he says,
yeah.
But we know that when he shall appear, talking about the Father, because he talks about what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. World didn't know him, it don't know us. So he says, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So That's the every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for calling in. Yeah, so where are you at?
I'm in North Carolina, brother.
Carolina. Good. Yeah.
And brother, can I say this right quick to you?
Yes.
Hey, one of the most brutalist things, my brother, I know it might be a hard pill to swallow right now, but I tell you, brother, the more that we continue to keep dying and dying and dying and dying and dying to ourselves, one day we will be able to stand freely and stand bold in the mirror and declare, I am Christ and Christ is in me. And I just say, brother, I think that I am in that day, that most wonderful day that I am partaking in today with us as a whole.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. That's what Apostle Paul had, died to himself. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So you just got to know who you are in him.
Yeah,
so I thank you for calling. Yeah.
All right.
God
thank you, brother,
for
having me. I love you, my man. You have a blessed.
All right, love you, too.
And I'm going to continue to keep listening.
Okay, all right. God bless. Okay, so we're going to go on here. Thank God for the caller that we have. And let's see. So we're going to move on here. We were talking about the Philip was found out his oldest and passing through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So anyway, we're moving on here with the time that we have left. Saul, remember that young man's feet, who was there when Stephen was stoned to death, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, this Saul said, who art thou, Lord? They say originally, who art thou, Jehovah? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. So remember, if you've been listening, I say God cannot break his order. He has put this gospel into the hands of men. So he cannot break his word because he is God. He's committed it unto men. So he could have told him what to do, but no, that's not the way he operates. So the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. Now, you got an account in the 22nd chapter of Acts and also an account in the 26th chapter of Acts. Said they heard a voice, they heard not the voice that spake unto me. And they spake unto him in the Hebrew tongue. So he goes on here and Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now this, he's talking to God, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So what we got to understand here, this is 3 days later before he went in and talked to him. 3 days. So this is how God works. 3 days before he was actually, he went and talked to him. And so he had time to pray. So anyway, Ananias went in his way and entered into the house. Now this is 3 days later, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So in other words, what he's talking about? His literal sight, his spiritual sight too. "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was saw certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus." So I think I have another call. Go ahead. Caller. Hello. Okay, so anyway, we're going to move on here. That was like a crank call. So immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. So he hadn't, because he didn't eat anything. "Then was saw certain days with the disciples which are at Damascus. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God." So he definitely, see, the Jews, they know that there is only one God. And the trouble with the nation, the Jewish nation, Israel, they didn't receive him as the Messiah, as a nation, because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah as a nation. People were from every nation under heaven were there at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah, the whole nation. So that was their problem. But a Jew knows that there is only one God. They know that. So straightway he preached that he is the Son of God. In other words, he is the incarnate. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. That's why I use the scripture when I come on the air. "He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's the same. In the beginning, God, in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that is God himself. So it was revealed unto Moses, in the beginning, God. So it's the same, self-same thing. So, "But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them that called on this name?" What name? The name of Jesus. "In Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests." This is a question. "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." So in other words, this is the anointed one. This is the one that Moses and the law of Moses preached that he should come. Talking about God himself. Talking about Emmanuel, God with us. The prophet Isaiah preached about, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Matthew got the revelation, which being interpreted is God with us. So we go on here. So they knew. So after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So they wanted to shut him up because they don't want, as a nation, to see they didn't believe him. And the proof is in the pudding, as we say. Zechariah 12:10 is going to come. That hasn't came to pass yet. The latter clause of that scripture about the supplications and all. Zechariah, the 12th chapter, 10th verse, the latter clause says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. God, which quickeneth the dead, and he can call those, he calleth those things that be not as though they were. So remember the former things. I am God and there are none else. Isaiah 46 and 10. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and of ancient times and things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. So this is what God does. Nobody can stop him. So this Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God had promised him what? He was going to have a son. He was about 90. He was about 100 years old. So he was able to bring that to pass, which he said, and he did. And the son's name was Isaac. He was the seed of promise. So that's why they're having that problem now over in the Middle East, because of the promised son, Isaac, and Ishmael, the one that was born after the flesh, which is born by the handmaiden, Haggai. That's the, him that's persecuted, him in the flesh persecuted him in the spirit back then. So it is now, is what is going on. So we go on here. So they wanted to kill him because they wanted to shut him up. That because people don't want to humble themselves. And they're going to that wailing wall weeping now. So they when they turn their heart unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, which veil is done away in Christ. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. So it says, it when it shall turn to the Lord, then the veil shall be taken away. So what? It what? Their heart. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. So they wanted to kill the Apostle Paul, but God wouldn't let that take place. Go ahead, caller. So anyway, we have to go on here. We got somebody calling in trying to do prank calls. So I'm not, I had a call earlier, so I'm not going to go for that. So anyway, the devil is a liar. So I'm going to go on here. So Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But so that'd be, I mean, there's some wicked men in the world, and so that could very well, God can save anybody. Don't matter if you're a hitman. Whatever you do, God can save you. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. He laid down his life. He's not going to die no more. Once in the end of the world, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So some people think it's, that's why the Bible, Apostle Paul himself said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And people, you can't, they can't, they don't realize, they cannot, you can't stop the word of God, and it's not a joke. So people think it's a joke, but it's not a joke. So God is not playing. But they didn't believe that he was a disciple. They were afraid of him. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You notice what he said, that same name. They're trying to shut them up in, and they're wanting us to shut up today, but it's not going to be so. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. So, just thank God for that, you know, giving you wisdom to be able to do that. So we thank God for that. So they couldn't. So God got his hands on you. Nobody's going to destroy you. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and abradeth not. Let him ask in faith. When they knew the brethren knew, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And that is because Apostle Paul stopped acting a fool. The devil wasn't using him no more. He was a very learned man. So God used him, and he is the apostle to the Gentiles. There are no apostles nowadays. People are calling themselves that. They're doing violence to the scriptures. So it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And they found a certain man named Enos, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Enos, Jesus Christ make thee whole, arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. So see, that's what happens. Even like right now, I got some people trying to crank call on me, but that devil is a liar. He can't stop me from putting this word out because I'm in control here. So I'm not going to worry about that. I mean, I've already tried, so I know it's nothing but the devil, wickedness, you know, wicked little laugh and mockery and trying to throw me off. No, the word is going to go out. No devil is going to stop it. So he said, Jesus Christ, make thee whole, arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, alms deeds, which she did, and alms deeds. And it came to pass in those days she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they lay her in her upper chamber. And far as much as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth. That means he put them out. Kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I remember her now. She died. She died. And in those days, she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So Peter put them all out and turned him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. So this is just so wonderful here, what is going on here in this particular scripture. Go ahead, caller.
Niggers.
Yeah, so anyway, like I said, I got somebody trying to crank in, and so they just wasting their own time because they're not going to stop me. So anyway, Apostle, the time that we have left here, he got many things going on. So Apostle Paul actually was taught by the Lord. One of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. So he was saying, he was letting them know about the gospel and all in the 15th chapter of St. John of 1 Corinthians. So he goes on to say how he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part is fallen asleep. Then he went on to let them know, and last of all, he was seen of me. That was one of the signs of being an apostle, is that you had to see the Lord. You had to be taught by the Lord. You were an eyewitness. Their job is to lay the foundation. Their job is to lay the New Testament scriptures, and they built upon that foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief, cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. And then after all of that, every one of the apostles died a horrible death except for John. He was boiling oil. They couldn't kill him. He was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. He put him out there. He saw the end and everything that's going to happen. He gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the great Apostle Paul was a mighty man of God. And so thank God for that mighty man of God that the Apostle Paul was. And so he wrote, he got the revelation, and he was talking about what he did. I persecuted the church of God, and he wasted it. I am that I am. You know, he wrote his letters to Timothy, his son, in the gospel, and you know, before he was a blasphemer and injurious and all those things that he'd done, he said he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. This is his testimony, what he talked about. So. He said that what he was to the church that he wrote at Galatia, and that's where he actually went in the Arabian desert and was taught three years by the Lord in the Arabian desert. When he wrote to the church at Galatia about what he'd done and that, you know, how he was chose from his mother's womb. So in other words, God had him in mind all the time. So he says, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, when he wrote to the church at Rome. And he said, I magnify my office. So he said he's going to send him far handsome to the Gentiles, to the children of Israel. So he testified to Festus. He testified to King Agrippa. King Agrippa said to, in the 26th chapter of Acts, he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And then Apostle Paul went on to say, I know that thou believest, he said. And then so King Agrippa spoke back, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So Apostle Paul said, I would together that not only you, but all they, you know, accept these bonds. So in other words, man, you don't need to be lost. So almost ain't going to be good enough. He almost persuaded you. That's going to be a horrible testimony before you get cast into the lake of fire, that you almost let him persuade you to be a Christian. So that's ridiculous. That's a bad testimony. That's not a good testimony. So, but he wrote 14, what we call them, Pauline epistles. They're called Galatians and Ephesians. Those are a couple of his prison epistles. He wrote to the church at Rome. He didn't start that church. But the Corinthian church, he did. He had heard about them down in Rome, and so he came to Rome. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? In the gospel. As it is written, you go back to the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live. Back there it says, by his faith. Just shall live by faith. So he had heard of their faith in Rome, and he came unto them that he said, I might impart unto them some spiritual gift. So Rome was a horrible place. Rome was a place where they cut babies out of women. They did some horrible stuff in Rome. And incidentally, Rome is where it's not the capital, as we would say. It's not where the mother church is, but the God's holy mountain is not in Rome, Italy. God's holy mountain was, and God's holy mountain always will be, Jerusalem. That's where God's holy mountain is. It is not Rome. Ain't nothing holy about Rome or none of those places, but God's holy mountain is Jerusalem. And so Apostle Paul let them know when he wrote to the Philippians church, one of his prison epistles, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, he wanted to go ahead and be with Christ, he said, which is far better. But it was needful for him to stay and to teach the people of God. So we got two great men of God. I believe Philip, the evangelist, as we will go on in time to come, he had four daughters which were virgins and did prophesy, which means they were preachers. Philip the evangelist's daughters were preachers. So these are two great men of God who we are talking about on today. They were used mightily of God. And so somebody said, and it's the truth of the whole matter, anytime the Lord is blessing, you have to anticipate the devil. So you can't get discouraged. So that was none other than, as Jacob said of his two of his sons when he was dying, he said that they were instruments of cruelty. So that is exactly what that was today. Try to call in and call me a derogatory name. I cut him off and tried to stop this word from going forth. But the devil is a liar. I'm in charge here. So I knew that was the devil. Anytime God is blessing, you got to anticipate the devil. So the devil will substantiate God's word because those were instruments of cruelty to try to stop the word, but the devil is a liar. So two of the greatest men there ever were to preach this glorious gospel, Philip the evangelist and the Apostle Paul. So we thank God for our lesson on today, and we're going to continue on next time. And, oh, yeah, I'm not discouraged. I'm in no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. I know it's not going to be easy. I didn't come this far. He didn't bring me this far to leave me, and ain't no devil going to stop me. So we thank God, and so we will hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time. Be thankful to God always. Thanksgiving is all the time, but be thankful to God and your family and friends, and be safe also. So thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. 5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.